CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Unbranded, the show unpacking and sharing ideas between human and brand behavior, how the brain impacts our behavior, and how brands impact our social brains. Thanks to everyone who's been with us from the beginning, to everyone who has come on board with the latest format change. We have shifted from live to now pre-recorded, which means I get a chance to interview inspiring voices from around the world at different times. One of the big challenges I faced with having a show at a particular time slot is that at my time slot at 9 a.m., then it is like 3 in the morning in America, so people can't engage me. So I am really loving the new format, and I'm extremely excited about moving forward. We've already been able to, it also gives me more leeway to travel. So having to be here on Tuesday was just impossible. So I'm really, really, really excited. And I'm looking forward to today's conversation. For those of you who don't have my email and haven't been able to send me specific insights, email me, TimothyMaurice@gmail.com or info@TimothyMaurice.com. I would really appreciate your thoughts on show and content ideas as we move forward into this new format. And I would also appreciate your thoughts on the first couple, 100 plus shows. Go back and look in the beginning from conversation we've had about the science of laughter and what that does to the brain and why women laugh less the older they get and the more serious their position becomes. And what does that mean to you as an individual? And also different shows like the psychology of shoes and why men were the first one to wear high heels and what happened. And because ultimately, I want you thinking differently and more critically about your position and how you see why you're doing what you're doing. I want to get to the root of things in this show, which is why I have our frequent contributor, Miss Normdeni Ndaki, back on the show, because she is going to be launching this Normdeni report, which sort of highlights her experiences, her thoughts, and her sort of observations and research from her talks, from her strategic work, and some of her global traveling. So I am excited to hear from her report on a regular basis. And so today I thought, why not? Let's have a conversation about why she's doing this report, the value of dialogue, and the value of research in building healthy brands, brands that represent our societies at the highest level, so that people are not, for example, imposing thoughts onto a culture. I'm not imposing and forcing ideas down our throat, but there are things that evolve because of specific insight from a dedicated professional and a team of professionals who are interested in why and where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish in life. So, Normdeni, welcome back to Unbranded.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You say my name so well. I don't think anyone pronounces my name the way that you do. You want to say every single syllable that's in it. But
because yeah, I love your name.
You've said that many times and I appreciate it.
And it's interesting because you've held down this show. And I have to tell you, out of the 100 plus shows, your shows rank in the top 10.
Oh, that's
in terms
amazing.
Of downloads, in terms of how many downloads.
How come you never told me this?
So, because we had this moment on air.
That is so amazing. So what that is really amazing.
So here's what that means. It means a lot of things. But what it really means is that your following is very intimate. You don't have just a loose tie following. You have people who follow you specifically because what you say matters to them.
That's true.
I told you this recently, that a young woman who is part of a family of billionaires named the Gumetis, Roberta Gumetti. Hi, Roberta. Hopefully you're listening to
Hello,
this.
Hello, Roberta.
Follows your work and she's really inspired by you. And I'm going to be making an introduction between you guys. But these are the type of people who are tuning in because of you. So, and most of the people who will be looking forward to this Normdeni report will come there because of your integrity, your character, and you weave in this subtle sort of sex appeal dynamic. Now, this is interesting for me because you try to hide that and sort of mute that. But the older you get and the more professional, you seem to embrace that. When did you start embracing this sort of sensual, sexual side of yourself?
It's so crazy. I still don't know that it exists or how it exists. But I must be honest, over the last 2 months, I've
You're feeling
become
yourself.
Very comfortable I've become very comfortable. I've gained some weight, so places are looking okay. I don't know how to manage it all, but I think that the older I grow, the more comfortable I am in my own skin. And I was a very skinny young girl, so this is new. Mm. I wasn't those girls who had like who developed very early. I was in grade 8, and I was still like flat chest.
Got
grade
it.
8.
Oh wow.
Standard 6.
You were that girl.
I was that girl.
Got
and
it.
I was tiny. So I think when I look back at really how my life has evolved, I think I really wouldn't change anything. Everything has happened so perfectly for me in just how I encounter people, how I encounter information, how I develop and grow and learn, and just also being kind enough to myself to allow myself to fail and get up and keep going. I absolutely have an amazing life in terms of just how things reveal themselves to me or
Got
unfold.
It. Now, you are sort of marketing, brand, communications professional who has this sort of deep inspirational side to yourself, where you much like me have this sort of human behavioral interest in inspiring human beings. So fusing this sort of brand inspirational human behavioral dynamic is a good fit for the show, which is why I want to share some of your insights in this Norm Denny report, where you physically have you deliver reports a couple pages long on a sort of cyclical basis, maybe every couple weeks or a month going forward, that just really shares your insight. When did you decide that you wanted to be a public voice where people, because you could do the same thing without being a public person, right?
Yeah, that's easily. True. That's true.
When did you decide this is probably necessary that I put myself out there and so people can visually sort of follow my work and engage this work?
It's so crazy that you asked that, because coming from a history where I've worked behind the scenes and I've worked with a lot of celebrities, I've always had something to say. And I've always thought that I was kind of smart. That's for sure. And finding myself where I was working in an environment where there was much more value in me leaning back versus in me being vocal, I had to find that balance at the beginning just so that I could gain credibility with the people that I worked with, where they wouldn't feel intimidated, where they wouldn't feel like they're competing with me for maybe the spotlight, if I can call it that. Although it was two different conversations, I always understood that for me to gain credibility within the entertainment and celebrity space, I need to be at the background, but I need to kick ass. Last year, at the beginning of the year, I remember specifically I watched an interview, Oprah's interview, and I mean, it's so lame that it's always Oprah who comes up, but that's what she's done with her life. I watched an Oprah interview, and I remember walking away from that interview and saying, the reason I will make my voice public and I will make sure that more and more people just get to know what is possible for themselves is for how many people I can reach. So I think she said something around celebrity is not about everything else, all the frivolous stuff. It's about how many people you can touch. The bigger the number, when the number becomes big, it doesn't make you a bigger celebrity. It means your reach is bigger. I think when I started approaching, when I changed my mind around celebrity or more people knowing you, I became more comfortable with expressing what was on my mind, what I was encountering, what had changed me, what had made me very comfortable with who I am, just transitioning into womanhood and being a black girl in Africa.
Got it. You know what I love about people who fully embrace being celebrated is that if you physically believe that your ideas have value, then you're absolutely right. It's just people celebrating your ideas.
Yeah.
And when going for it, your report will be people able to sort of engage your insights on a regular basis. They won't have to scroll all the way back to your tweets from 2012. They'll be able to go back to the specific report. And, you know, when you look back on your journey, you've met some phenomenal people around the world. You've learned some things that people will die to be able to learn.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that from your past that you would like to integrate into your upcoming reports, some unique sort of experiences or insights that not many people know?
Wow. I'm not going to reveal a lot of stuff because obviously I want people to stay tuned and really pay attention to the reports coming out and what they have to say. But boy, I've met some really, really awesome people. And I'm really excited about this report because it allows me to share things that, you know, sometimes you meet some like really, really amazing people and you're just like, I'm not going to put this on Instagram because I'm going to look like I'm showing off or I'm trying to associate with people. But I honestly have some amazing, powerful friends in powerful positions who have taken a liking to who I am and what I represent. And I think, honestly, thinking about it, the first report I would want to do is really about a change in how girls view themselves and the impact that older women have on that journey for a young girl. I think looking at the history of this country, older women have gone through their thing. You know, they have their challenges. I know a lot of older women who I've respected in the past who, as I grew closer to who they are, I was just like, ah, she's like that. I don't want to meet my hero, you know? And looking at that authentic, getting that window where you see someone who you thought was so powerful and then you find out they have a drinking problem, you know, and it made me realize that they're human. I think there's a possible link between some of the most powerful women in this country presenting their authentic self to young girls so that young girls can always feel like there's still a gap, there's still a chance. I don't have to be perfection in order to be that kind of woman. And I think looking at my journey of how I've come out, how I've opened myself up and really seeked wisdom by sharing who I am and sharing my journey, I think that's what I would love to engage in. I think I'm going to speak to 5 powerful women about who they really truly are, speak to them about what really truly their challenges are, what social media means to them. We see a lot of them on social media and we're like, ah, I don't want to see that side of who you are. You know, that balance, you know,
so true.
You
know, I'm old enough. You may not be able to say it, but I can. But, you know, it's weird for me to see, you know, like I really enjoy people like Basasana, for example, and I enjoy her career trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awkward when you see people like that in their most vulnerable or most sort of non-celeb space.
Absolutely.
It kind of throws people off. And I think I'll look forward to this report because it would be really cool to see.
You know
what they're learning about themselves.
What they're learning about themselves.
Must be learning stuff.
Absolutely. And the big question is, how much of yourself do you reveal in these platforms?
Yo.
And why do you do what you do in these platforms? You know, because what I've noticed is with the South African business people or celebrities, and even our government, communications, which is my field, and PR is so weak, if I can call it that. You know, we often see PR as an interview, but PR is more than an interview. It's about saying, Timothy, who do you want to be portrayed as? Who do you want to be and how do you want to change the space that you are in? And how do we do it on every platform that we encounter? You know, where Oprah, yes, sometimes tweets for herself, but you can see that everything is thought out. She just doesn't just tweet everything. She doesn't tweet herself in the bathtub with Stedman. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's going to be interesting. But I think definitely my first report, I would love for it to be choosing 3 powerful women who I can think of already who I probably would have access to and sharing who they authentically are and how they get into the spaces that they get into and what really was their agenda. And also, I still do want to show their true self to a younger girl who's struggling to figure out who they are and where they're going. And I think sometimes when we open that gap, we really capture people who have so much potential to be amazing but are struggling with whether they're doing it right.
You know what would be interesting for me is one of the things I would love to see in this report is when someone has, let's say they have 1 million followers and their average number of likes they get is maybe 20,000 for a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they post something and they get 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
That does something to you. I don't care who you are. You start to associate a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, if I post this, I get average. I post this, like when Beyonce got the most likes ever on Instagram for her baby, what does that say? That you connect much deeper on an emotional level to something that's universal in human nature, which is having a child. So it's going to get more likes. So we start drawing patterns. I'd be interested. And there's a term in psychology called patternicity. It'd be really interesting to see if you get people to open up about this concept of patternicity. What do they see? What picture comes up on their like patterns? You know, when they don't get many likes, does that bother them? Does it make them feel like their post was insignificant? When they get an uncommon amount of likes, do they feel like they do that? Do they adjust? All those type of things.
Yeah.
Because if somebody who's famous posts a bathtub experience, people are going to be drawn to that. But what does that mean?
Mm.
So once you get into that, I'm looking forward to reading that report. And this is precisely why I'm excited about you, because you do have this sort of unparalleled sort of access to people. And you also have your own following as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having your own following along with access to people and their following, you're able to sort of create this juxtaposition between followings and really create some insights and stuff that I think are going to be interesting. Now, what's your first love? Is it inspiring people or is it communications and branding?
Definitely inspiring people. I think everything else that I do is a tool to inspire. My prayer, if I can call it that, has always been I want to work with clients who want to impact people. So I want to do amazing work. I want to do amazing creative work. But at the end of that, if you ask the guys at Unilever, almost every pitch I give them is just like, then we talk to these people. Then we do this for that person. It's definitely inspiring people. I understand the power of being inspired myself growing up in a small town. All I really ever had exposure to was books and people that I looked up to. And I think I turned out well. And I think that's why I value inspiration so much, because I think I'm okay. I think if I didn't think I'm okay, I wouldn't value inspiration. But when I look at what I was exposed to and how it shaped who I am and how my life has turned out, that's why I think I value inspiration so much. And I value information. I value conversations. I know it's an industry that people really undermine. When people call me sometimes to come and talk, I always like, it's a nonprofit. I'm just like, this is the place where people should be getting paid the most money. Because if someone could dedicate their lives to really inspiring people every day, we should be helping them make a living. So I know people undermine it, but I know the impact of someone's mind changing. When I did the Forbes talk recently, I said, my belief is that the change in someone's mind, the change of perception is a miracle, because that's where a lot of then physical behavior changes. So imagine if everyone truly believed that we all could get by and we all have enough. If they believed it first, that then changes the physical behavior, that then makes someone not go and steal. So there's something that we are undermining about the impact of changing and touching someone's life. And definitely inspiration fizzles out. And that's why I'm consistently churning out information on my social media pages, because I know I've been through those phases where I was inspired for like an hour and I was like, yeah, let's do it. But then real life kicks in. But in the same way that who you are is programmed over a period of time, and sometimes subliminally, things that you're not even paying attention to, they really influence who you are. And that's what I believe about the information that I dish out. It's subliminal. I don't expect people to change immediately, but I expect them to start looking at things differently, start investigating a little bit more, starting having different conversations. And sometimes we undermine it when we are around people who have those conversations with us all the time. I bumped into a guy who Zinhle and I had a conversation with, and he literally said, no one had ever told me that. And for me, it was so surprising, because I have those conversations every day. And all these small nuggets of information I get through encountering people teach me and affirm that what I'm doing is necessary and it will impact the community in a small way or a big way over time.
So you're somewhere between a branding expert and a pastor. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting to Noam Ndaki, who is founder of Edits. Is it Communications?
It is Communications.
Edits Communications, and she's a marketing, branding, PR, communications expert who loves inspiring people. You know, what part of the reason why I admire your work is, for example, on campaigns like you guys did with local celebrity who's happened to be your friend, DJ Zintle. She, if you've heard her refer to Zintle, this is who we're talking about. She basically, you guys created this era family thing, which basically creates a community of people, like a tribe in Seth Godin's sort of philosophy of tribes, where young girls become part of a community or a tribe. And they get symbols like watches and other sort of paraphernalia that makes them feel like they're part of a community, which impacts their identity, which makes them feel more confident, which makes them feel like they are part of something that's inspiring. That's that when they wear this symbol, they're not just alone. They're part of this tribe. And so the fusing of inspiration, symbols, and communities to build a brand is something not many people can do. So I'm looking forward for you to do retrospectives and put into your report things like this as well, because this is very, very powerful. And if you heard Namdede's phone buzz, somebody just called and she hung up on them. Like, somebody is angry right now. And we all can relate to that moment when you call somebody and then they click hang up and you're like, ho.
No, you what actually do say, what did,
yeah,
maybe... Maybe it was in that bag. No, I did hang up because I'm going to finish the interview and then I will attend to my real life.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing as society is shaping and evolving and so forth, and I mentioned this in my my podcast about Japan, is that the thing that moved me the most about Japan was that the culture and the philosophy and the whole ecological order provides the foundation for everything. How they eat, how they do business, how they engage brands. Everything is informed by who they are as a people at a spiritual level. And that's why they have some of the oldest businesses in the world, et cetera. And they're the healthiest people in the world, et cetera. And I feel like we are disconnected here. And I feel like we're disconnected most places in the world, where I want to go to your rural area. I want to go to a rural area, see what the culture is like, and make a link to why they make the cars and why they build and they make a watch brand or a refrigerator brand. How does it link back to the culture? What does the culture, why is the culture informing and transforming brands? Because once it's linked that way, you get sustainability. You get solid foundation and highly anchored things. And I think that as we move forward, our dialogue and the health of our research and conversations need to be informed by the roots of where we come from. And when that happens, I really feel like both where we come from will be challenged and we'll continue to evolve, and brands will be authentic at the highest level. People will feel authentic. Instead of us chasing a creative idea that came from America, the UK, we're chasing things from where we come from. And that's what inspires me. And I think that I wanted to have this conversation with you because I look forward to what you bring out in these reports, because I know how much you pursue authenticity and healthy conversations and healthy dialogue. And I know how much that leads to richer brands and concepts like this era family that really makes people feel like they are part of something special, and that it reminds them on a daily basis that they can be more. And if we can inspire people to want to be more through reports like you're going to bring out, then I'm extremely, extremely happy. Now, tell us when we can expect the first report. Is it April, May? When can we look out for your first report? Because we know these things are not easy to put together.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I think I'd definitely love to have the first report come out in April.
Okay.
I'm juggling in my head whether it should be the end of April or the middle part of the month, but I think the end sounds like a safer place. But I'm very, very excited about the report, and just speaking to you gives me some kind of structure in terms of where to start, where to go. And I think this whole conversation around culture is one that we'll probably see come up a lot with every report, because it's true. Where we're anchored, whether we're anchored or not, really determines who we become in our day-to-day. And when you're just talking about Japan, and I'm not saying Jack Ma is from Japan, Jack Ma came to mind, and I remember listening to him speak at Stanford about how he has a 100-year plan for Alibaba. And wow. a lot of businesses in China are not successful until they've hit 100 years, according to them.
It's not serious.
It's no, no.
Yeah, you're just trying
no,
something.
No, 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 no. This whole story of, oh, you've reached the 5-year mark. Now no, you're, ma- no. With when he was talking about, and I'm really getting more and more excited about this report because I get to share all this information I came across as well. I can share a link of this talk. He was really talking about how 100 years is when a business becomes successful in China. Before that, you're still trying to figure out things. And he was talking about how every meeting is recorded. Because whenever they think about the business, they're not thinking about it for them because he knows he's not going to live for 100 years. So whatever he's doing now, he wants to make sure that when he's not there,
the next
someone
generation.
Sees how they were making decisions. Exactly. Someone can investigate where they made mistakes. So they collect so much data because their whole thinking is around 100 years versus 5 years as an entrepreneur and you're made. No, you're not. I'm on 8 years and I'm still struggling.
I read in the Sunday Times a couple days ago that there was an interview of a person talking about how successful they are, what they've been doing, and they started this business in 2014. I'm like, you're still mm-hmm. taking chances. You probably had a couple good deals.
Absolutely.
You may have gotten one sort of flow of income, mm-hmm. but let's check on you in 10 years from now.
Sustainability.
Let's see what's happening. And for me, that's exactly why every relationship I go into, I'm thinking long term. Mm-hmm. You know, I've written for The Star for 12 years, written for Destiny 8 years. When I started this podcast, I didn't come into this thinking, I'm going to try this thing, see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I went into it thinking, I want a platform that can create an exposure to a diverse audience. I want to be thinking about exposing myself with people who are serious about it. So when I found out one of the founders started Talk Radio on Radio 2000, that's the kind of link I want to be around. Mm-hmm. Not some fly-by-night type of thing. And if you're listening, you're following this podcast, I really hope you get that we care about your future, not mm-hmm. your instant sort of gratification type of success. We care that you look down the line and your kids' lives are secure, mm-hmm. that you create a brand that is going to protect the lives of your employees' kids, mm-hmm. not that you're building a fly-by-night brand. So I'm really grateful that you have committed to this report. I'm grateful that it can take a life of its own, and we don't know where it's going to take you or people who follow you. And what's more important is that it's a report can be circulated from around the world for people who want to do business with Africa, who want mm-hmm. to do business, you know, with different parts of the world. And I look forward to people sharing at the report. My favorite moment is going to be this, when somebody's on stage quoting your report.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Amen to that.
Check out Noam Dana's report. She said, what? And you're like, ha, ha, ha.
But I've had moments like that when someone says something I said and I'm like, I can't quite remember, but I will say yes, I did say that. No, I'm very, very excited, and I'm a believer. I'm not a pastor. And when this whole concept came up, I knew it was the next step for my intent to inspire and plant a seed. And I think it allows me to also just go deeper with some of the conversations that I normally would have with someone across the table, but I don't get a chance to do that when I'm on social media. The report will allow me to just be more vigor, extensive, in-depth investigation of a lot of the topics that I sometimes bring up but don't see through. And it's going to be a great challenge for me as well. Yes. Because it's going to allow me to focus. But it's something that talking comes easily for me. But research is something different. So when you see this report, you must know I gave it everything.
And you probably gave your team something exciting too. I mean, that's the good thing. As we close this conversation, you've been listening to Noam Dene Mdaki, founder of Edits Communication, who's going to be launching a report sharing insights around sort of brand communications, human behavior, inspiring people, etc. As we close this, let's have an authentic moment. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
So you weren't feeling good today, and you almost called to say you're not going to make it.
Are we going that authentic?
No, yes. Because everybody goes through this.
Yeah.
Everybody wakes up in the morning at times. We don't feel our best self, and we look in the mirror and we go, maybe I shouldn't go. I have an invite for a wedding, but I'm not feeling myself.
Yeah.
And it's disrespectful not to go, but I don't go, etc. You had an engagement or whatever. What do you do to help build the quality of who you are that caused you to show up today? What are some of the things? Is it your prayer life? Is it your, you know, something you do on a meditative level? Is it just what, how do you build yourself to the point where you show up even when you don't feel well?
So definitely when I slept late, number one, I slept at 5 a.m. because I was working on something exciting. But I'm always in a space where I'm like, is this really what I should be spending my time on? Is this not, you know, because I'm still definitely on a journey of self-discovery, although I'm very, very clear about what I want to achieve. Sometimes the how is the challenge, and you find yourself pulling it on all sorts of directions. So I had that moment, this morning where I was like, I slept at 5. Why did I sleep at 5? Now I have to go to this thing with Timothy. And I actually...
this thing.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know really what it is, but I'm going to figure it. You know, I truly believe that this is where I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to be doing. So even when I don't feel like doing it, I know that in the moment, I will thrive. So I think... That's the first thing. And then the second thing, I've worked with celebrities so much, and I've shouted at so many for not pitching. I was just like, this is probably how they felt when they didn't want to show up for a gig. But I think what makes people, there's a quote, I'm never good at really verbatim, but there's a quote that says what the difference between people who make it and the people that don't make it is that the ones that make it do the things that they don't want to do sometimes because they have to do them in order to move forward. So because this is something I truly, truly enjoy, something I truly know I'm meant to be doing, that's where I pull from. I was just like, I said I want to do this. Because my prayer is always, lead me, put me in a space where I really do what I need to be doing here. So when those moments appear, I can't just sleep. I can't just be like, we'll try again another time. No, I know this is a divine moment and I had to appear for it.
Awesome. Well, for everyone who's following sort of Unbranded, please subscribe. Go to iTunes and you can search Unbranded and just click subscribe. And it means weekly on Tuesday, you will get a reminder that the show is out, because we launch the show on Tuesdays every week. And then under the new format, you will get a reminder, or you can go to cliffcentral.com and download it. For all our global listeners, I really appreciate it. From those of you who I met in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Egypt, Japan, that have now started following this, I really appreciate it. It really means a lot to me. And to be able to introduce you to inspiring voices like Norm Denny. And you spell that name Nomndeni, for those of you around the world who were wondering. So thank you for all the American, UK audiences, and those of you who continue to follow from South Korea. I really appreciate
that. And Nigeria.
And Nigeria. Everyone who's downloaded, thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded. CliffCentral.com.